Okay, Pastor was there.
Are you okay now? All right, fine, thanks. Then we can continue. It's showing now.
Yeah, it's showing.
May I have a plea? Let's give CGE the first bite so that we can have enough time for a minute because it started late. Is it acceptable, portfolio members? Okay, fine. CGE, the floor is yours. Hey, mommy.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Apologies.
Good morning, Chair. Thank you very much. I have received two apologies. One is from Honorable Machese, who attended the conference in Ethiopia, and the other one is from Honorable Dudley. She's not feeling well. Thank you.
In ICU. She's in ICU. Oh.
Kashifa, our content advisor, is admitted also in the hospital at ICU, and the researcher has opened a presentation to you.
Over to you.
Thank you very much. Honorable Chairperson and esteemed members of the Portfolio Committee, honorable members, it is a great pleasure for the CGE to come and present its annual performance plan for the financial year 2015-2016, which is informed by our strategic plan document, which was submitted to this Parliament 3.5 years ago. Chair, in our delegation, we have Commissioner Mkotu, the resident commissioner for the Western Cape, and Commissioner Mapazu, Dr. Mapazu is also the commissioner for Western Cape. We have our deputy chairperson, Commissioner Mpumlana, we have our CFO. Moshabi, we have our CEO, Kitero Maema, myself, Mpano Zalishos, and we have our own parliamentary officer chair. We wrote you to request to bring other commissioners who, for example, Mpaz is the chair of the Finance Committee. That's why it's us for here. Mkotri, anyway, is here. There's no cost attached to Mkotri attending and so on. So we've requested that from us so that we're able to engage in a more informed, have a more informed discussion. Chair, the presentation is going to take the following structure. Our CEO is going to present on the annual performance of the organization, and our CFO is going to present on the financial issues and the budget, and we're requested by this committee to present on SONA, and we have prepared as well the SONA presentation. After those two presentations, we will, if we have time, also present on SONA. Very quickly, maybe it will take us about 7 minutes on our reflections on SONA. But we also request the portfolio committee, as we will be presenting, to take stock and take note of the budget cuts that have been done by our treasury to actually reduce our budget. And we cannot do some of the things, and really we request the portfolio committee to assist us to ensure that maybe some of these monies could return to us, assist us in Parliament, assist us in whatever way they can to ensure that the CGE budget comes to normality, because that is going to actually strain the work of the Commission. And therefore, as we present, we really want the portfolio committee members to look at those issues and ensure that when they engage on whatever portfolio that they engage in and assist CGE, to actually make sure that we're able to actually function as a normal organization. Thanks, with your permission, Chairperson, I will hand over to I will hand over to the CEO to present the budget. We'll try to actually present quicker so that the police can have more informed discussions on these matters. I know Honorable is laughing while she knows our CEO that cannot present quickly. This is 2015. No, thanks, Jefferson. We live in a constitutional institution. It's one of our assistants in the office, Jefferson. Shouldn't be surprised.
One of the
Eastern Cape office. Commissioner, club member.
Good morning, honorable members. I hope that I'm not hoping. I'm going to be very fast this time around. Just because honorable Sakai left, I'm going to make sure that I take 10 minutes to present my presentation. My presentation was sent before, and therefore I'm hoping that I'll be in a position to just run through. Chair, it has just been also brought to our attention that the last time that the commission appeared, there was an issue around the citizenship. I think when we're engaging on Beijing and CEO, there were issues or engagements, and I believe that there wasn't a proper opinion put before this committee, and therefore as such we've taken the liberty of ensuring that we prepare a proper opinion on that particular matter, and I think it has already been sent to Nelisa as well. So we do have an opinion on citizenship on the basis of questions that were asked in the last appearance, and the committee was engaging with CGE on CEDAW and Beijing. So I'm not going to get into that. I was just highlighting to say that it's there in the text as well. In terms of our presentation today, my presentation will just highlight issues that are coming from the strategic plan. We'll go through our mandate, our vision and mission, and then we'll delve straight into the annual performance plan and try and highlight the activities that are attached to that particular plan. As the committee would be aware, this is our fourth year into the strategic plan that we first put before this parliament. And when we got together as the commission and looked or coming up, preparing to come up with an APP, we still felt that the strategic plan is still relevant, and therefore no changes have been done to the strategic plan. I must highlight, though, that what was attached in the strategic plan was also a specific organogram, and our organogram, we haven't really changed it. However, I wanted to highlight that due to issues of budget, we have placed a moratorium on some of the positions that are in that structure that has been approved by this parliament. And really the reason is also around issues around budget cuts. I think many times we have engaged with the commission around the issue relating to our budget, and we have always indicated that the only area that is flexible for the commission is around COE, and therefore that's why we've placed a moratorium because of the budget cuts. And obviously new commission, the new commissioners, we have new commissioners as well who have also looked into the strategic plan, and they are also hit with the strategic plan as it is. In terms of our mandate, as we're all aware, we are we've become into being a CGE due to Section 187 of the Constitution, and we are there to ensure that we promote, respect for gender equality and protect issues relating to gender equality, ensure that there's development and that the country at the end is able to attain gender equality. We've got additional powers as prescribed by our national act, CG Act of 1996, that amended in 2013. And in that act, Section 11 highlights specific functions that we must undertake as the commission. We monitor activities both from private and public sector. We investigate complaints on our own accord and or those that have been brought to us by members of public. We undertake research, we educate, and we lobby different bodies, South African Law Reform Commission, for instance, on some of the laws, and obviously Parliament, and we also address Parliament on issues that are concerning gender equality as a whole. More so related to the monitoring and evaluation that we undertake. And we monitor compliance to regional and international treaties. We also have another mandate that is contained in the in PEPUDA, the Promotion of Equality and Prevention on Anti-Discrimination Act. And in that, we also assist the complainants in ensuring that we bring their matters before Equality Court. The CGE in a whole, we are there to ensure that we strengthen constitutional democracy and ensuring that we attain a gender equality in the country. Our vision remains the same. Nothing has changed. A society free from all forms of gender oppression and inequality. And our mission also remains the same. Nothing has changed. Monitor, evaluate, and make recommendations on policies of public and private sector. We undertake information and educational programs, evaluate and make recommendations on legislation affecting the status of women, investigate and resolve, rectify gender issues, collaborate with other like-minded institutions, monitor and report on international conventions. We still have our oversight committees are still intact. We still have those governance oversight committees that are led by different committees, which are really playing oversight on the work that all the different units within the commission progress, how they are progressing in terms of the work. We've got legal and complaints, research and education, strategic plan and report and monitoring and evaluation committee, human resources, audit, of course, is chaired by somebody from outside. We have finance, we have information technology and communication, and I must indicate attached to the audit we also have now a separate risk committee that is also chaired by somebody that comes from outside. We still have our second trips committees. When we started and when we embarked on our new strategic plan and APP, we have engaged members and highlighted that as much as we are now rearranging our strategic objectives and no longer really looking into thematic areas like we used to do in the past, we are still going to keep those thematic areas so that they are able to inform the work that we do. But in terms of certain shifts of the CG Act, we can have that particular committee, a think tank-like committee, where we can engage with different experts on those various fields and ensure that our work is informed by the issues that are relating to those specific ones. So we have women's economic empowerment, national gender machinery, gender equality and health, gender-based violence, culture, religion and tradition, and then we have women as substantive equality. So those are Section 6 committees. I must indicate that for this particular year, 2015 is an important year for us as a country, and there are quite a number of things that are coming to an end, especially when we look at the international arena. We've signed many international instruments, which many of them, there are specific things which by the end of 2015 we should have done as a country. And therefore, most of the work that we are undertaking now is also ensuring that we are able to consolidate all those issues, to be able to then engage with Parliament and highlight to Parliament by the end of 2015 the actual issues and matters that we have found on the ground on those specific programs. We know that in September, MDGs are coming to an end. We know that this is 20 years of Beijing, and therefore there needs to be quite a number of things that are put forward to ensure that the SDGs that are now being talked for the future, they also take into account quite a number of issues. We do know that this year our country was supposed to report to the CEDAW committee in terms of our CEDAW. We know that we're a little bit late, but we still kept that because we still hope that within the current year we'll be able to have a country report which we'll be able to engage with. So that is just to highlight our programs for this current financial year took all those issues into account. And over and above that, we do have our regional protocols. And the SADC protocol, there are so many things that we should have done as a country by 2015, and therefore we've taken that into account as well, and that has informed the activities that I will be highlighting in terms of what it is that we will be doing currently. Obviously, in the gender landscape, we still know issues of patriarchy are still embedded. There are still so many issues coming out. Related to different behaviors and mindsets. We still have issues of gender-based violence that are still rife, so we took that into account. This year, there's one thing that has come really strongly, and this was also brought about because of the little research that we started in the last financial year around reproductive rights and sexual health rights, so we have a hearing that is also coming up to look basically into some of those things. We know that issues around decision making and substantive participation of women is still an issue, and those things we've taken them into account as we were coming up with our AP. In terms of the strategic objective one, we still have three strategic objectives, three which are service delivery related, and the fourth one is still looking internally. The first strategic objective is to ensure creation and implementation of an enabling legislative framework that promotes attainment of gender equality. We have put quite a number of such strategies in place that ensure that we are able to attain that strategic objective. The first one will monitor and evaluate promotion of gender equality and relevant policies and practices of public and private sector, and we will then place our report in Parliament as we've done before. That stands. We will still initiate and or participate in the review of legislative framework, and we will also always come up with submissions as we've always done on any bills that are put before this Parliament, and also provincial legislators. Conduct performance assessments of political parties in the public and private sector on effective implementation of gender equality. We do know that 2017 is just around the corner, so we still left that to be intact because there are specific activities that we want to start undertaking in this current financial year before we get to 2017, the same way that we did when we were looking at national elections. So we'll also endeavor and come up with activities that will ensure that in 2017 we are also able to put a report in terms of what we have found in process of leading to that as far as gender equality is concerned. We are still going to evaluate implementation and effectiveness of national justice facilities in checking how they are addressing gender discrimination. We will still convene policy dialogues with relevant policy makers at national and provincial level on the different findings and recommendations of the research reports that we are finalizing in the current financial year, so we'll still undertake that. Strategic objective two is also still intact. We are still protecting and promoting gender equality, ensuring that we engage with relevant stakeholders to educate and raise awareness on issues of gender equality, challenging patriarchal perceptions and stereotypes, and to take action against infringements of rights through implementation of appropriate redress. For that strategic objective, we still have sub-strategies that will support it. One, we'll still ensure that we timeously investigate complaints of violations of gender rights and identify appropriate redress. We'll still initiate investigations into systemic violations of gender rights, and we are going to develop a coordinated program to promote gender equality. We are still going to initiate interventions for sustainable development and promotion of gender equality by addressing violations within the social, cultural, religious, political, and economic and security. And we will collaborate as our act is very clear amongst others to ensure that we collaborate and even more so now that we have budgetary issues. I think that leg of collaboration is now even more important for us as the Commission. Under Strategic Objective 3, we're still going to monitor compliance with regional and international instruments. We're going to conduct the reviews and do those audits the same way that we did with CEDAW and Beijing. We're still going to do even the African protocol, and we're going to be looking into the SADC protocol as well, as I've highlighted. And we would also like to interact and engage with this parliament on the findings, the same way that we did as far as CEDAW and Beijing is concerned. Strategic Objective 4, inward looking as indicated, we're still striving to build an effective, efficient and sustainable institution that will be in a position to fulfill its constitutional mandate. And for that, we still have five pillars or sub-strategies that are going to support it to maintain optimal governance and oversight structures and policies between commissioners and the secretariat, to maintain the financial management strategy so that it promotes effective, efficient and economic utilization of resources as well as accountability, to develop and maintain an IT infrastructure that supports and promotes the organization's objectives, develop and implement comprehensive HR policies and procedures, review communication strategies and policies to ensure that we still are able to enhance a positive public image for the Commission. Under Strategic Objective 1, just to highlight, as I indicated, I started off by just indicating the different strategic objectives and the supporting sub-strategies to that. What we will be doing, we have put forward activities around reviewing progress of recommendations that we made for employment equity hearings. I think for the past 2 years or so, we have been holding employment equity hearings with both public and private sector. And what we are going to do this time around, we are not going to be calling them, but we're going to go back into the recommendations that we have done, and then we're just going to be engaging on those to see how far these companies and departments have gone in terms of ensuring that they work or they put together measures to ensure that some of the things that we highlighted, which we thought were not or were going against the ethos of gender equality, have been pulled. So we'll just do that and engagement. It won't be a full-scale hearing as usual, but we'll just be engaging with the different entities just to see how far they've gone. And the other hearings that we're going to be holding now, we're moving now more towards looking at universities to check gender transformation at university level. I think the whole idea here is we have looked into the employment sector and these are the issues that we have. However, we need to go back and just look within the education system as well to say how far are we and is that education sector, what is it that is putting out, what product in terms of people is it putting out, which will then help us somehow to ensure that when we get to the actual employment sector, we are then able to get or see the results in terms of gender transformation. We're going to put a report forward on the status of gender policies and practices in the public sector by using the gender barometer. We're still going to be utilizing our gender barometer. The gender barometer is our web tool which we normally use, and we engage with different departments at a time just to see how far they've gone on around issues of gender mainstreaming. So the barometer will still be there. We will pick specific departments and probably some companies from private sector, and then we'll then highlight that report. We'll still be undertaking submissions on legislation as I've indicated. And we are going to do assessment report on women's representation in political parties. We've done that particular process when we were going towards national elections. We are still going to start with those processes just to see how we handle ourselves, how political parties handle the processes going forward now that we are about to hit 2017, because the products that we see at the end after elections and the positions that get held at that particular point, it's a combination of quite a number of activities leading to that process. So we'll be looking into that very closely. We are still going to look into gender-based violence, and look at the program that is there and see how far or what are kind of things that we are doing as a country to ensure that we have gender-based violence. We had previously, especially under GBV and looking into victims of GBV, we had done quite a number of studies over the years on the victim's charter. The victim's charter is that document where different departments have got specific obligations in terms of victims of violence, and we did quite a number of audits from different departments. We had one on health, we had one on NPA, on DFD, and all those other departments that have specific obligations, and we are going to be going back to those studies as the CGE and really look at whether they have also taken into account some of the recommendations that we put forward and some of the issues that we had highlighted. We are aware that at some point justice on the basis of some of the reports that we had gone back to try and tighten the victim's charter itself, but we will be going back just to see whether the processes are really going well, whether they took into account some of our recommendations and all that. So that's what we'll be doing there. Evaluation report on monitoring, of course, we always have separate reports and just to check how they're functioning. You know that part of the problem that we've been living is that many cases that where women really bear the brunt, and you find that those cases are forever slow in our justice system. So we are still continuing with that monitoring so that we will be able to highlight to this committee what are the issues that we are finding, so that this committee should be able to then engage with justice to highlight some of those things as well and be able to hold justice to account. We'll be having dialogues with policy makers, as I have indicated, based on the research that we are currently finalizing in this current financial year. And we will then also find a way to having campaigns integrated, you know, around those specific dialogues that we'll be undertaking. I must indicate that in the past, what we used to do was to have these dialogues in all the provinces, just to ensure that we speak to the different HODs in the provinces, and we used to have quite a number, around 9 or even more, depending on the kind of research reports that we put forward. However, due to the issue of the budget cut, we've sort of a little bit tried to change the particular process. We're still going to have policy dialogues, but now we're going to target at national. We are going to engage with the DG that is chairing FOSFAT in the presidency, so that they give us a slot where at least we can be able to engage with the DGs on all the research reports, because we are not going to be able to have funding. However, we feel that thing is important, so we're going to tap into specific forums that are already there that we know. We know that in the provinces, HODs sit together in a regional kind of format somewhere. We're going to tap into that, and hopefully they will also allow us to then engage with all the HODs in one forum on all these things. So we are not going to be having the 9 where we go HOD by HOD, department by department, but we are just now going to target those specific forums because of our limitations that we have as far as budget is concerned. Under strategic objective 2, we're still going to be attending to complaints, as our act highlights. We're going to have 90 outreach and legal units conducted in the provinces. I must indicate that that's another area where we've had. If you look into our previous APP, we had 108, and when we 108 was a starting point, and we wanted growth in terms of ensuring that we get into communities and we engage, have a legal help desk there, and have our outreach processes in these communities. But however, it's one of the things that when we looked into, we saw that our budget is a little bit limited, and therefore we start that now from the 108, which we had envisaged, now to 90. However, what we also try to do to ensure that we enrich that particular process, we are now ensuring that when legal officers go out into communities, they also go out together with education and outreach officers, so that we maximize that particular time, because obviously there are other campaigns which we have cut due to budget constraints, but however, we've tried to be a little bit innovative around our legal clinics to ensure that we still maximize and we still reach the communities the same way that we wanted to do and be able to pass the same messages that we want to put forward for this current, for the financial year that's going to start in April. We are going to undertake systemic investigations. We have a process that has been unfolding around transformation of judiciary. We are almost right at the end of that process. And though that the transformation in the judiciary and the decriminalization of sex work, those will be finalized right in the beginning of the first quarter of the new financial year. And we have another new one which looks into maternal health. Last year, due to budget constraints, what we did, we started with desktop analysis and research. Now we are going to be engaging more on a fully blown investigation process. We have campaigns, coordinated campaigns that we have developed that have a specific stakeholders that have been targeted. I must indicate as well that we also tried to be innovative with this particular issue. How we used to work previously was that if we are going to say we are targeting this year tradition, religion, and all that, we would ensure that all the 9 provinces deal with those issues. But however, we went back, we looked into the reports that we had previously, and then we decided that those provinces that have, for instance, more religious issues, you know, related, whether discrimination, those provinces should then look into that. For instance, if we are having Muslim issues and they are more prevalent in the Western Cape must take that. If we have issues of witchcraft and we know that banning of witches, as it were, happens in the Eastern Cape, happens in Limpopo, and happens in Mpumalanga, those are the 3 provinces that will look into that particular issue. Forced marriages, so we tried to also ensure that we don't necessarily limit ourselves in terms of the work that needs to be done, but try and be innovative with the little funds that we have. So that's how we have tried to put these issues around. We still have a platform. In the last financial year, we signed an MOU with the NCRF, the National Community Radio Station, the Forum, that deals with that, and they've still allowed us to have 54 media slots specifically for outreach and education to be able to engage at the language on the ground on issues that we want to educate and have outreach programs on in these community radio stations. So we're still having those 54. Intervention programs on gender violations initiated with the traditional leadership and religious sector. As I indicated, those are one of the things that we do. I must highlight, in terms of the coordinated program above, which I spoke to in campaign, we also know that there is not all provinces, for instance, that are having issues around sexual orientation or killing of lesbians. So we've also targeted those specific provinces that we know have got those problems. We know that Limpopo is now upcoming and rising, so we'll be targeting it, obviously, Western Cape and Gauteng. That's when most of these killings are right. So, as I said, we are trying to group provinces to ensure that matters that are really right in their provinces, they deal with them so that we don't just be a blanket issue and then some of the provinces don't really have some of those particular problems. We're going to still have joint programs with stakeholders, and I think we've highlighted even more so, we've really tried to put it up that this time around we really collaborate with like-minded institutions, and really that's the only way that we'll be able to reach. It has been the only way that we use previously, but we are going to heighten that up, especially looking into issues that we're having with our budget at this particular point in time. We are going to have consolidated reports on engagement with stakeholders on Commission's mandate and thematic focus areas. So we have those 24 engagements that we've highlighted that are going to be taking place and then have a report which will then engage Parliament on. In terms of strategic objective 3, we'll be taking assessments, as we've highlighted. We'll be looking more now into the African region. We're going to be looking into the African Protocol on Human Rights and the Rights of Women. We're going to be looking on SADC on Gender and Development. As I highlighted, SADC is in 2015. There are so many things that we have put to ourselves. We have said we'll be halving GBV by end of 2015. For instance, we'll be shooting at 50-50 and all those things. So we are going to go really deep into that and assess and then come and engage with Parliament so that we can see what needs to be happening, because 2015 has arrived. We'll still have a report on our Africa Gender Development Index, and I think this report for us is an important report that will also give Parliament an idea of where we are as far as gender equality is concerned. We're going to be finalizing it in the very beginning. We have a draft report now currently, which we still need to engage with the panel. Our panel is people coming from all the different sectors, just to ensure that the information that we have is correct. We have, for instance, Statistics SA there, DPME Monitoring and Evaluation is also part of that. Women is also part of that in the presidency and all that. So we have a draft report that we're going to engage with, but in the between April and June, we want that report to be finalized and ready. We're going to make a representation to all the relevant stakeholders as far as our reports are concerned in terms of SADC and all that, and engagement with stakeholders on our attendance on some of the events that we attend to. For instance, currently there's Beijing Beijing 20, and there are quite a number of processes and issues that have come to the fore, which we need to then go back and engage with all the different people who could not be able to attend CSW, for instance, just to highlight so that people prepare themselves to say what is upcoming, what are these issues around the SDGs that everybody is talking about in the future, and what needs to be done and how we should be getting ready. So we'll be having those engagements with also put them in. Strategic Objective 4, inward looking, as indicated, we really continue to still have a review of different delegations of authority, just to ensure that the system between Commission and Secretariat runs smoothly, because that's important. And I must indicate that due to the budget cuts and all that, we have now decided that we really need to look into our business model as the Commission to say the budget cuts are upon us. We are aware that this current financial year there's over 3 million that has been taken off our baseline, which was already small in the first place, and we have seen projections that in the next financial year there is going to be taking off around 4.5 as well. So the budget cuts are before us, and I think what is important is for us to go back and say, this is our mandate, this is the budget that we have, is our business model correct? And we really need to do that. So it's one of the real activities that are under Strategic Objective 4 that we would be undertaking this current financial year. We'll be looking into whatever we have policies. We always go back and see if we need to review where we need to develop new ones. We'll be doing that. Under our finance, we're still striving for a clean audit, and therefore we've still put that in. We've still put activities around financial management strategies, which also will look into us having, you know, revised policies, the delegation of authority that goes further down to the staff within the Commission. CGE, we are about to get to 20 years as a Commission. And for that, we felt that it's going to be important that we have a report that highlights the achievements that are there, the challenges that are there, and we feel that that report is going to be important for us to say 20 years since inception, how have we done, what is it that we need to change, what it is that we need to do differently. So we have that particular activity that we're going to be looking into, starting, you know, so that when we get to 20 years, the report is ready. We're still going to run processes around efficient management of resources towards effective service delivery, you know, ensuring that our SCM and all the other processes are proper. I have already highlighted a business model. Our IT infrastructure, we are currently upgrading, as members are aware, but we are still really ensuring that we put things in place and in order to ensure that we are able to optimally utilize that IT infrastructure process. Training plan, we're going to have a training plan as usual. I must indicate we've also tried to be innovative with that due to budget issues. So what we're going to be doing is to ensure that we have a specific grouping. We are going to target specific groups. Instead of doing everybody all at once, we are bound to really target specific groups as far as training is concerned. So we're still going to do it. We have now set for ourselves that having automated performance management and all the other processes, we're now going to be looking into automating workplace skills plan and some of the employment equity modules that should be there in our VIP, and that will then help us in terms of running our HR processes more properly. So that, I think, just highlights, you know, the different activities that we'll be taking. We're still going to continue to maintain our processes as far as employee assistance program is concerned. We're going to still carry now this year organizational culture audit, and we're still going to have annual workshops that HR is going to undertake to ensure that everybody is au fait with the policies that we have as an institution. In terms of communications, we had a strategy that we had put in place previously, but now we are reviewing and looking at that strategy as well to see what has worked, what didn't work. So we'll be sort of ensuring that we look into the strategy and put further things where we think they were lagging. Communications is going to be very helpful because it's the key that we are really going to use this time around to ensure that our messages go out there. It's the only other cheaper way, especially looking at the kind of relationships that we have had with SABC and all the other media platforms. So we are really going to be utilizing that to ensure that they help us for the activities that we need to undertake. And we are looking into our branding strategy as well. We had a manual before, but we just want to ensure that everybody is really working very well with some of those things. The last slide, I really also want that I have highlighted quite a number of activities where we've tried to cut, where we've tried to really be innovative so that the cutting that we've done does not necessarily cut, you know, the mandate in a way, because we are here for the mandate and there is no way that we can just cut, you know, the actual program. So we have really tried to be innovative in terms of the activities that we are going to undertake. As we always conclude around funding and funding issues, and this time it's even, you know, now it's really worse because they've been tough. We still remained where we were as CGE for the past 5 years as far as our baseline is concerned. And the only increases that we really realized throughout the years have been more inflation related, and we have never gotten any positive injection as far as our baseline is concerned. And the cuts, we've highlighted that the cuts about 3.5 or so, 4% has been taken off in our budget, and we know that fair projection is also that there will be further cuts around 4.5 or so. or 4.6 in the outer coming year. And really, the current situation, I think, has been really difficult in terms of us ensuring that we are able to fully deliver on the mandate that is legislated. However, we really tried this year to be innovative and ensure that we don't cut the mandate, because we realize that we are here for service delivery and there's no way that we can cut service delivery even if we are having problems in terms of the mandate. And therefore, that's why we have sort of placed a moratorium on some of the positions that we have at head office, just to ensure that our mandate is not affected by the cuts. And I think this cut, as much as we've tried to be really innovative and all that, you know, we are here to really redress gender violations and advancements of rights that are really happening at grassroots level, which also require quite a number of approaches. Our budget is not good enough. However, we have really tried to ensure that we are able to sufficiently reach, even though it has really been difficult. Our budget as it is will not even help us. Yes, we do have a process now which we are undertaking in terms of our IT. However, I mean, going forward, we won't be able to have, you know, money that puts aside to ensure that we still run that properly. I've highlighted that we've done some cuts on training of staff, but we didn't cut or close it completely, because we do realize that development of staff is important. So what we've done is to say, let's for this financial year concentrate on a specific levels only, and then as it were next year we'll concentrate on other levels. That's the only way, otherwise there's no way that we can be in a position to say we'll be able to develop every person within the commission in this coming financial year. I've spoken really about filling positions. We have had especially those positions that are at head office level, because as well we realize that there's no way that we can cut positions of the actual doers on the ground in the provinces. So that is still the situation, just cutting or placing a moratorium for now for some of the positions at head office. Thank you, Chair.
Chair, that took 47 minutes.
Who can know that? You can't have a relationship. Someone has to do that job. Now that's fine. Young lady, thank you very much. You've done well. And even Honorable Grace is saying it in the choir. Honorable members, are we going on?
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson.
Oh, low shedding. Otherwise, I was going to say, because we have hard copies,
we can continue. Okay. Thank you, Honorable Chairperson, Honorable Members. Good morning once more. My presentation, effectively, that's a hard copy presentation. It looks like this. Annual Performance Plan, presentation of associated budgets.
and the presentation effectively. The presentation is effectively a subset of the presentation by the CEO. It fits into, or it gives more meat to the APT presentation, meat as it relates to the use of financial resources. The earlier slides, I think, at the risk of repeating what has been presented, I'm going to skip them, except for the introduction one that indicates basically the purpose why we are here in the first place. We are presenting a plan and making proposals or seeking approval by the House for the appropriation and use of the financial resources, which were earmarked for the 2015-2016 financial year. Effectively, what we are doing is informed by provisions of the Constitution. As it were, it's only Parliament that appropriates public funds for public good. And effectively, there's the emphasis in that slide. Legislative authority has been presented in full. Areas of focus by the Commission broadly and adequately articulated in the presentation. I'm going to skip. Because we are dealing with the management or allocation and use of financial resources, I'm also picking, you know, relevant provisions from legislation, starting with the Constitution, Chapter 13 of the Constitution of the Republic, Act 108 of 1996 deals with financial management related principles and values. That's in Chapter 13. Emphasis there is all about openness and accountability in the management of public funds. As we know, Public Finance Management Act as well gives effect to the ethos in the Constitution. So I'm just quoting as well from Chapter 1, which gives basically emphasizing on the values that the object of the financial management, the Public Financial Management Act, is to secure transparency, accountability, and sound management of resources. As well, there are federal documentation authorities within the public sector in taking on how CGE manages its affairs. There's a framework that we all use in the public sector, a framework of strategic planning and annual performance planning. Effectively, it says financial management and service delivery ought to be interlinked because we're using public funds to deliver services. So in the interest of ensuring efficiency and effectiveness, there should be those direct linkages. We can't be delivering services that are appreciating how much it costs. As an example. And in order for financial management to be prudent, there's got to be appreciation of risk management. Effectively, there are factors which are not obviously clear for all of us managing the resources. However, if we integrate risk management to financial management, that will be critical. Oh, the bus cop is back. I thought, taking from the lead from the CEO's presentation around our budget situation, to further elaborate as to how our baseline is, its nature and the structure. Effectively, our work, the Commission, we've got sub-programs, three sub-programs being the one for commissioners, governance and support. We've got administration, corporate services led by the CEO, and we've got the main service delivery program. So that is how our presentation will be going through this. It will be including our spending plans according to those. And as well as a way of background, I beg your pardon for the typo. I think our vote, the vote there should be vote 13. We are a sub-program of vote 13. So the appropriation of the CGE will be a component in that particular vote. So that vote is a vote for the Ministry of Women in the Presidency. quickly, our budget has got the following drivers, key drivers. Compensation of employees historically, structurally, constitute between 65% and 70%. This particular year that you're claiming for, it is 67%. And that is not without, that is not an accidental coincidence, but it's the effect of our business model. Our business model that we're using human resources to deliver services. We're using legal officers, we're using researchers to do monitoring work, we're using education officers in the main to go to every corner of this country to advance and promote gender equality, do advocacy work as well. The net component that attracts spending in terms of the amount, 11%, it's travel and accommodation, event management, as it were. We are a very, our service delivery is intimate to grassroots clientele, so we travel the length and breadth of the country to communicate with people, to find information, so travel is inescapable. We have to spend substantial on travel. And as well, the way we're structured, we've got offices in every other province. Professional services is the next component, consuming resources. There are included in professional services, we've got policies, we've got litigation, I think, because we are fighting for gender rights. When there's a need to litigate, the commission does not hesitate. With limited resources, without fear of favor, we go and litigate on behalf of the downtrodden. We're also generating reports, monitoring reports, so many reports that have been published. The commission is consistently publishing, launching reports, so that attracts spending. And the other one, I think, because we've got an infrastructure across the country, we'll have running expenses like telecommunication, courier services, vehicle expenses. Those are basically the key components of our budget. And if you add all those key components of the budget together, you'll see that they represent over 90% of what has been allocated. So effectively, any shock to this structure will be difficult for the CGE to respond to, because 90% of the structure is fixated by a few components. And if you look into the bigger component being compensation of employees, you'll see that there isn't sufficient flexibility for, there's no space, planning space for the organization. As well as a way of background, this is over the MTF period, just to indicate the history but also prognosis as we're going forward. You'll know that in the audited outcomes in the first column, in 2011-2012 financial year, we spent 50.7 million. The year that followed, 12-13, we spent 58.3 million. Last financial year, we spent 61.9 million. This year, we are projecting that we spent 67.2. And before the announcement by Treasury and the Minister of Finance that there will be effectively budget cuts, we had 70.1 million projected to be what we'll spend in 2015-16, and so it was 74.5 and 78.3 million in 2017-18. However, there's a column, there's a row there adjusted where those numbers that are highlighted have been accordingly adjusted, just reconciling basically between that line on total expenses to what Treasury allocates. So in that particular year, the 2011-12, because we were operating at low capacity, I think it's when we're still building the organization. So we had quite a number of vacancies in the institution, and then we effectively put that surplus or underspending as against the allocation by Treasury of 4.4 million in that year. That's the money that they effectively sustained the underspending that were inherent in the baseline, after all. And 2012-13, we have had interest income increasing, basically reconciling between what you have spent and what has been allocated. Surplus component again, and so it goes. 1.1 million was due to interest income that was recorded. In this particular year, we have planned in. If members will recall, when we presented the APP for the year that will be ending 31st March 2015, we have indicated that we've got extra budgetary allocation or addition to our plan. We have reported that in addition to what Treasury allocates, we will utilize past accumulated surpluses arising from interest income. So we have planned it in, so the 2.7 million is in addition. The Treasury allocated 67.2 million, we are adding 2.7 million to come to around 17 million for the year. So the plan is to spend 70 million, currently allocated, and the other component becoming from previous years. And as we go along into the outer years of our planning period, we know there's been an announcement of a budgetary cut, 3.1 million. Its effect has been proclaimed, and 4.6 million in the coming years. So effectively, if you look into the growth and also looking into how our budget is structured, one will realize that despite the fact that there's been increases baseline year after year, it was nominal. And then the key driver of spending being compensation of employees effectively attracted a higher growth than the allocation. Those 7%, 6 point something aggregated to 7% were effectively lower than an increase in the cost of living adjustment that had been reported in the period. So gradually what has been happening is that there was an erosion of the budget, an erosion towards COE, and then as a result, one is moving away from key service delivery component to, so if the status quo is maintained, over time we should be expecting that we'll come to a point that money that is available is only available to pay salaries. It will come to that because of there are demands for higher salary increases, demand which are also, you know, supported somewhat, but there's an economic principle in place. Okay. But my purpose was to say that we've got competing principles. I was about to present the other element to say that there's this principle and another principle that you know, brings about the difficulty in playing. Okay. Thank you, Chair. If we move on, this effectively summarizes the implications from our budgeting situation. We've got the dilemma, as I've mentioned. As money moves to COE, we basically are forced to sacrifice the element which is left to be, you know, flexible, because COE is, once contracted, is fixed. The plans, as we are doing the plans, the APP and the budget, our original budget indicated that the commission, in order to enable the commission to deliver in
on his legislative mandate. We need to have around 86 million rand. We needed to have around 86 million rand to execute the ABP. However, given the fact that the funds were limited, we had to scale down our plans. So effectively, we had a deficit of 60 million rand when we planned zero basis without looking into what needs to be done in terms of our strategic plan for the current year. So we had that gap of 16 million, and then we had to go back and replan and feed the plan to the available resources. And the implication was that we could not afford the establishment as an institution given the allocation. So there was a moratorium placed on filling positions at that office. We had to also, in addition to being innovative, we had to scale down. The CEO in her presentation indicated as an example that legal clinics wanted to do more. However, given the limited resources, we had to scale down. And there's been even training as an example. We wanted to train more, allocate more resources. However, we just couldn't. We just couldn't train as the organization needed. I mean, our training plan was informed by what we need as an organization. However, money did not allow us to do that. And what we did basically to ensure that the plan is a funded plan, we had to look into cost containment strategies. We had to look into areas where we can effect efficiency gains. As you know, as the House knows, we have purchased, we have expanded our fleet. There are prospects of efficiency gains in using our fleet instead of renting vehicles, as an example. In using our fleet in terms of traveling together instead of having people that are traveling in different. So it will be a scheduling, transportation scheduling and utilization program. The use of resources like telephone and whatever, management has taken a strong decision to say we are going to stringently implement the cost containment measures, including our own internal policies and practices. Avoiding duplications of service. An example given during the CEO's presentation was the issue around policy dialogues that previously, common practice has been that when we're doing dialogues, we will present the same dialogue as an example in every other province 9 times. But appreciating the fact that, generally speaking, policy is nationally determined in the Republic, and therefore there was space basically to avoid those duplications. And for each policy dialogue, as an example, we may centralize and then effectively have a dialogue at one centralized or at national level effectively. But that does not necessarily mean that provinces will not be included, they will be included. There are strategies and tactics that have been conceived. Another example is on the use of technology and media platforms. I think the new technology and media provides an alternative distribution of our messages. So it's an area where we can access efficiency gains. And effectively around the managing of cost control and the like, moving from the ideal budget of 86 million to the money that has been allocated, we had to plan in or foresee that we'll have to cut around 6 million from the ideal to the bare bone that we are operating on now. And other implications on scaling down on the APP, the main service delivery component, because the original plan required 14 million rand to be spent on the APP. However, the plan that has been put forward has been costed at 9.5 about million. So we had to take away 4 million rand. There are elements of innovation, but there are elements of non-operability of whatever we desire to do. We have mentioned the establishment, the COE, the moratorium, the positions, the value of positions that we are not filling comes to around 6 million. So effectively, this is how we compensated for the shortfall of 16 million. And our strategies, immediate strategies that have been conceived by the Commission is that we'll have to re-look into our business model. And in addition, I think the law permits, the CGE Act permits the CGE to even communicate, I think in this platform, affords the CGE to communicate this particular funding situation. So there have been escalations done, I think the Chair will speak to that. In terms of the CGE Act, drilling down to our current plan, in summary, our plan in terms of our sub-programs, we have 10 million rand set aside for the commissioners, 17.1 million rand set aside for corporate services, support services, and the main service delivery at 43 million. Then also on the right, there's a spread split by strategic objectives. Objective 1, 8.6, objective 2, 20.7. Objective 1 deals with legislative framework and policy issues where CG intervenes through things like hearings and the like, e-hearings. Objective 2 deals with promotion and protection for gender rights. So we're doing our promotion awareness strategies, but as well we are also doing the taking cases, mitigating, protecting those hard-fought gender rights. Strategic objective 3 deals with international instruments and monitoring of those international instruments, budgeted at 14.4 million, and the administration, which by the way also includes elements of communication, which also supports the core service delivery, the strategic objective has been costed to 26 million rand. So the whole budget comes to 69.7, while National Treasury allocates 67.7 million. So effective included in the budget is depreciation for 2 million. We have budgeted for it. However, I appreciate in the fact that we have been allowed to utilize past accumulated surpluses by National Treasury. There will be corresponding compensation for depreciation, because depreciation is a provision for the replacement of our fixed assets by definition. Looking into how allocation occurred within strategic objectives, SO1 to SO4, the total budget is 69.7 million as reported. We can also see that the resources that have been directly allocated for core service delivery comes to 9.7 million or 14% of the overall budget. We got running expenses, office overheads, which has been budgeted for 13.3 million or 19% of the overall budget. Salaries consuming 67% of the budget at 46.7 million. And as well, if you look into the spread across strategic objectives, you will see that strategic objective 4, which houses commissioners' work, support services work, would consume 37% of the resources, and the remaining 63% that would be going to strategic objective 1, 2, 3, which are the core. And beneath that, there's a further spread of the direct expenses for strategic objective, one to four, but basically on issues that relate to the core service delivery. That's the spread. which is basically made up of the bubbling, the venues, that, and the event management that we do as we're executing our various other roles. I must put an emphasis as well to say that along venues, catering and the like, we are observing, as an institution, even including our travel, we are observing the ethos contained in the cost containment measures, in this case, that document from National Treasury advises that we should be looking to utilize premises belonging to the public sector government institutions. So we have planned that in. We have definitely planned that in. We are also taking, when we're talking about efficiency gains as a strategy, those things are included, they are planned into the whole thing. However, the residue, having planned those things in, brings us to 3.5 billion for travel expenses linked to the cost of delivery, 2.1 million on venues, catering and related event management activities, and as you can see, the further spread is indicated on other things that we do. I need to go back to one of the slides just to show, to summarize. I think that's a slide I'm not going to present you. That's a slide in our copy document, page 12 of the slide. Basically, I'm just drawing your attention to that slide to show a parallel between our original plan of 85.986 million versus our shrinked plan of 69.7 million, and then indicate the areas where material reductions have occurred. This is a budget itemized in a nutshell. Key drivers, this is in accordance with our budget structure. Key drivers, compensation of employees at 46.7. Depreciation is fully funded because we have been given injection for capital expenditure. But that capital expenditure has now just been earmarked for IT equipment, having already purchased or replenished the fleet. The office, you know, office cleaning, maintenance, lunch and security encompasses every other element of you know, maintenance costs for each office, which includes municipal services, water and lights. As we know as well that electricity is now getting, energy is getting to be much more expensive, and then that also becomes a key driver. Professional services, we've got audit fees included in there. In this particular year, audit fees have been planned for the expenditure, the budget included in there is around 2.4. So half of what is being allocated to professional services includes 2.4 for AGSA. We've got planned litigation and some planned consulting services included in there. Report writing, we'll be producing reports across. I mean, our research is doing a whole lot of work, even the work that legal is doing. We do print those reports. And some other things we spoke about. So effectively, that is how our budget is spread. This is also another representation of the same information, graphical representation. Salaries still remaining the key driver, followed by spending on core service delivery at 2.6 million, and the other operating overhead consumes at least 19% of the budget. This is the strategic plan, or the APP, at sub-strategy level. Underneath the sub-strategy, there are specific activities, more little activities and programs that have been planned as part of the implementation plan. So this is basically just the summary, costing a strategic objective. Objective one, 8.6 million earmarked. And this sub-strategy, as you can see, consumes 12%, of which 62% in that 8.5 is COE. There are flagship activities that we are indicating, one of which would be transformation hearings. And there's also a continuous activity that we do around gender barometer. It's also one of the main activity areas that we are isolated out. As it is, planning without risk management is planning for failure. So we have coupled planning with risk management. We have highlighted the areas that could have, potentially have consequences for the achievement of the objectives that we have set. One of which linked to this particular strategic objective, but may also be relevant to other strategic objectives, is the fact that, you know, often because we are an independent in terms of the constitution, we are an independent institution, we are a constitutional institution, but we participate in all sectors, including government, executive. So there are instances in which whenever we plan, we anticipate behavior by other entities, private sector, government, everybody included. However, that planning, that sort of planning is not an exact science, and then it may be, I mean, we are just saying these things are potentially risky, but we do have mitigating strategies along those things. I'm just giving an example, speaking about the GBV Council as an example. In the preceding year, we plan to monitor GBV Council, even in the current year, and even the 365 plan of action as well. I mean, it's one of the things that we knew have been a program of government executives, but those things are not necessarily directly under control of the CGE. So if ever there are changes in those sectors, in those areas, our plan should be affected. So we identify that as a particular risk. And as well, I think sometimes the mere fact that we are still infusing gender equality is still being mainstreamed. So there are challenges that we often get. Because we, as an example, we can't get gender disintegrated data, and then our work is impacted by those particular happenings. However, we appreciate existence, and then we plan, we mitigate against. The next sub-strategy is sub-strategy number two, allocated 20.7 million. I'm not going to go deeper. Take away points from the building on this strategy is that it consumes, or COE consumes around 60% of that particular sub-strategy. In the 20.7 million, 59% thereof is for COE. It's what most work will be done. Effectively, it means that most of the work will be done by the CGE internal personnel. And the COE is also, this SO, strategic objective, is also the bigger strategic objective of the CGE. It focuses on the promotion of gender equality, the advancement thereof, but as well as the protection of gender equality rights. Which is protection of gender equality rights is through taking and resolving complaints from the public. But as well litigating when litigation is due, not only of individual gender rights violations, but as well as litigating and investigating systemic violation of gender rights, as is much more explained by PUDA and other statutes. Risk management issues relating to this strategic objective. It's also the issue about resources, because it's a sub-strategy that requires us to be on the ground. We need to touch grassroots. We need to deal with those pertinent grassroots gender and women rights violations and rights. So because we have limited resources, this is the strategy that fuels it more. But some of the innovative mitigating strategies that have been adopted is through partnering. is through partnering for use of resources, but also partnering where the CGE sees itself as a catalyst, partnering with civil society broadly, and the CGE will be coming with knowledge and just coming a catalyst, even things around, you know, participating or co-participating in the same with partners in the NGM. So there are quite a number of tactics and strategies to deal with those things. And as well, I think often, as we are engaged in partnering, collaborating, we find that there are instances in which, you know, plans are incoherent between us and other role players. So the CGE, independent as it is, appreciates the fact that we are part of the larger broad society, we are part of the broad government and the like. Some of the interventions done to ensure that the interfaces happens is what we have built into our operating plans, which is also allowed for by the CGE Act, the what's called Section 6. Under CGE Act Section 6, the law allows the formation of committees and populating whatever project that we need to pursue. So part of our rollout strategy is to have Section 6 committees, having experts from outside the CGE with you know, diverse and gender equality, gender pertinent skills to advise CGE. So we are mitigating on that particular aspect. Strategy 3 deals with the monitoring of South Africa compliance with international instruments, the CEDAW, MDGs, Beijing Platform for Action, and also participating basically in the latest structures, also using the available tools. I'm mentioning the AGDI, Africa Gender Development Index, as a tool. So we're having a project planned. That project has already commenced in the current year to end 31st March 2015. However, work on that particular project will also continue into the up and coming financial year. On AGDI, we are undertaking that, using our, although that's a blend of utilization of outside expertise, but by and large, our own resources internally are engaged in that. And expenditure, we have spoken about that. Issues around risk management on this, I think effectively they are more or less the same as in the preceding. What I can mention is that there are often, you know, because it is the executive that signs off some of these covenants, there are instances in which an organization, you know, has got a particular interest in order to do, but in order to execute what's legislated, however, because of the dependency, co-dependency on what the executive is doing, like ratifying or like instances where there may be reservations and the like. So that's got an impact. So we are highlighting so that it can be an element. We have highlighted it as a risk component. It can be an element that is effectively and actively managed as it impacts on what we need to do. Strategic objective 4 is the internal capacity strategy. Resources allocated 26 million. As we have seen, this represents 37%. But this strategy also includes the business of the commission by the commissioners. I think over and above the fact that they've got an administrative role, the governance oversight role, but they as well do have you know, a direct service delivery component in what they do. But for purposes of planning, it has been everything, expenditure has been included in the sub-strategy. In the strategic objective, I'm sorry. And the other elements that you have spoken about it, takeaway points, I think we'll be repeating, skipping this. Risk management, are basically internal operational risk management in the main. We have seen IT the fact that our IT is absolutely incompatible. We had to struggle to get a compatible laptop as an example. So, but we do have to expose this particular risk of relating to IT issues, business disruption because of poor technology, but there's already an intervention, but there's also a business interruption that may occur as a result of electricity supply currently, the one that we are facing. So we have also built in mitigating strategies around that. One of the strategies, as an example, would be to negotiate with the landlords where we are leasing to make available generator resources. Funding, we spoke about it, is inherently in our baseline. Some of the things are, they naturally happen. So I think in as much as we are managing the situation, I think performance or good performance can only be relative. There's always room for improvement. So this particular developmental risk of getting, you know, management to the T, middle management, everybody else, I think we are identifying it, we want to grow. So we are putting this as a particular risk. And also to ensure that even budget, even in the difficult circumstances, we plan for development. We're not going to have an oversight on this particular issue. And that will conclude my presentation. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, sir. Is there a further okay. I think this is question time. You need a break. 2 minutes break. 2 minutes break. Unfortunately they are working on the air conditioning, but it's central. That's why it's taking some time, but people are free to take their jackets off. We're not in church. That's why we kept the door open. They don't open. Remember, this is Ma. It's a break anyway. You can't sacrifice me. It's not of my own making.
Thank you. How do they make nice food?
Hmm?
How do they make good food?
Yeah, they do. Do you have two commissioners?
Nine. Three of us. Four of us.
What commissioner?
What are you doing in the commission? Repeat information.
Yeah, we monitor the record recordings and we have a website for the parliamentarians and the masses.
Oh, okay.
So, place the recordings on the website.
Thank you.
So you have a bunch of it here.
That is it. It's just a style of the voting day.
Okay.
The people that work with you, basically, like sociologists, social workers, or something.
Lawyers,
usually.
What happened there was that in health, crucial services, justice was supposed to have a social agreement speaking to the VP.
Yeah.
So I'll just check to see those chapters. I don't know what you're talking about.
Okay,
yeah, sure. I've got your email address. Yeah. Do you still want to document that one? Do you still want to document the... Because I came and you were gone too?
Oh,
overseas, but we wanted to serve you.
Thanks, Chair. I'm going to be very quick with Sona. We requested just to highlight on Sona, which is the state of the mission address to the mission on the current state of affairs before the start of the year. But I think the context is very important, that we know that the President is always providing the executive policy framework, but there are other ministers after that. They also come back and actually articulate their own programs in terms of SONA. So our comments are based on SONA, but we know there are other platforms where these issues are articulated more. The SONA focus on several issues. And we also know that it identified the challenges and achievements of government in implementing the program over the past financial year. And the SONA focus on economy, education, health, government, transport, and the judiciary. All these matters relate to gender and women. Social science such as the corruption, crime, GBV, and gender-based violence. And we have also a presentation around the Freedom Charter and the National Development Plan. We acknowledge that the SONA identified and acknowledged the achievement made by selected individual women who excelled in their respective fields. We also like to share that the address did not go on to address some of the major challenges faced by women in general. As I said, that with the proviso that some of these issues are also presented by other ministers, where they go in details, which we think the Ministry for Women will always go in details into these issues, but they were not particularly presented by the President. To address some of the major challenges faced by women, including the need to deal with challenges faced by women in rural areas across the country. The speech focused on attention on important policy areas for the country, such as water, which are very important for women and well-being and gender equality issues, energy, land issues, which are also important, roads, transport and support to small businesses, which are mostly populated by the women, job creation, agriculture, housing, labor legislation, SMEs, climate, health, corruption, and peace keeping. Why not addressing the context of challenges of gender and ethnicity? These policies areas are important for the welfare and advancement of all women and men. So as I said, that the second bullet is very important for gender empowerment and so on. Some of these policies areas are crucial for the welfare of women. For example, lack of housing, poor household conditions undermine the roles of women as mothers, caregivers, child mothers in their own communities and so on. And as we're also going to see in the budget votes of various ministries on how they are going to be dealing with some of these issues in terms of whether gender has been mainstreamed across the provision of adequate health care, water, sanitation services as crucial and also related to gender equality matters, welfare needs of women and girls in general, but also women are usually in the forefront of home, household caregiving, including caring of the elderly, sufferers of TB, HIV, AIDS, and other ailments. Very, very important. And the health tree, the Ministry of Health will also try into some of these issues as well. The challenges and special needs of female health assistance should therefore have been identified as important social and welfare priorities for the President and the government, and have actually picked up as a commission. The political representation, especially of women, is also important. Challenges facing gender and streaming in South Africa and so on. We know what has actually happened in the previous elections as well, that in terms of women are going back and adjusting, because just like the discussion here that maybe we need to adopt a policy where if a woman has actually left a position, we are able to actually replace a woman by a woman rather than, because once a woman has left another position, it's replaced by men, and that's the kind of situation where we regress and we go back. No. It should be substantive and so on. So, as we know that South Africa is centered to start the protocol on gender and development in all areas of decision making, specific targets made by 2015, CO has actually spoken about this, but we don't think that the president was able to speak on the 50-50 issue, whether we're going to legislate on these particular matters around the issue of 50-50, which I think is important, so that we are able to deal with gender representation. However, the challenges facing the application of this principle remain intractable, and these were not identified and addressed in the Sono Pitch, as said that. So the relationship of women as premiers and women in local government has declined over the past few years, and which is also important, which is also speak to the issues of 50-50. With the local government elections to be held next year, the Fijian state, the issue will become the focus of attention, the issues of 50-50. We must make a question here on the bullet number two to say the president, I was there, did speak about gender-based violence and gender-based violence issues, but there's no specific focus on LGBTI community. So the issue of gender-based violence, the president spoke about it, spoke about the issues that relate to the sentencing for offenders and so on, but there was no specific focus on LGBTI. And I think that is he did not speak about gender-based violence at all. So that was said by the LGBTI community. So the president did condemn violent threats against women, children with disabilities, elements of LGBTI. So I think what we have there, what we have some changes from us. I think the packages that we have are saying he did not speak about LGBTI and gender-based violence. CGP, the son of left stringent to making major policies and program announcements initiative and to make a commitment on challenges facing women in the fight towards gender equality and transformation. So in particular, the president did not address the financial and other challenges facing the country national gender machinery institutions, which we think is important, is driving the national gender machinery. The specific issue of the National Council on Gender-Based Violence was also not presented. Remember that now the ministry is located within the president's. Many stakeholders in the gender sector were anticipating that the president would make a major policy statement and give leadership on the national gender mission to signal the government's willingness to ensure that gender mainstreaming remains a top priority. Can we hear the chair? This is our analysis as the Commission for Gender Equality. Chair. The SENA identified some of the successes of government. One, on infrastructure development and service delivery, such as housing, education, health, provision of electricity and transport, very important for gender equality success. Successes in the provision of healthcare service over the past 5 years were referred to include HIV and AIDS-related issues. A general analysis of healthcare provision by CG reveals that there is a lack of progression of women reproductive health issues, which account for the high maternal mortality rate. CG is aware of a major cash injection that was announced in Sona for ESCOM with potential benefit for households, especially women in rural areas. The Sona focused on attention on the need for the beneficiation of men workers from the principle of gender in this sector. However, it is also expected that men are more likely to benefit from this initiative due to the male dominance of the mining sector. The president also emphasized the importance of banking sector in the country's economy. We agree with this, especially for SME sector, which provides opportunities for women. However, we wish to bring attention to how the exorbitant banking international fees often tackle these SMEs with appearing women's economic opportunities. The issue of PE as well came up. The current government has a track record of passing policies and measures aimed at affirmative action and economic empowerment. And the GTI study, Chair, and other women on access to financial services for women entrepreneurs in South Africa, revealed that women being still experienced barriers in accessing financial services and credit facilities. This is one of the very important issues as well. Women are the largest group of self-employed economic actors in the country. We believe this should have been acknowledged and special support initiative for the sector identified as a policy priority for the new year. And I think it's important for the new small business department to actually take up this particular issue as well. Then reform and redistribution issues, the freedom to assure that land shall be shared among those who are in the present identified land as a priority issue. So this was, and we have put the freedom charter, it was the president himself referred to to the Freedom Charter, as there was a time actually explained the point around the issue of land redistribution. One point eight million tenants have been compensated with an amount of 18 billion for land could be restored. For example, in 2010, CGE conducted a study which revealed that women are not fully enjoying equal benefits as beneficiaries of land reform and regime initiative, and the beneficiaries are still predominantly male. So access to and control of land is an economic resource, and I said, is still skewed in terms of gender and race. We also highlight that patriarchy and traditional leadership is the same structure in ensure quantum gender imbalance in land ownership and control. Key issues from SONA on employment and labor relations trend alluded to the social determination exercise in 2022 to outline the basic conditions of employment for farm workers. This is very, very important, Chair, because RFCG has also identified that farm workers, especially who are women who are pregnant, are not even allowed by their employers in some areas, for example, in KZN and so on, to actually go and visit clinics when they are pregnant and so on. So there are still a lot of issues around women, farm workers, and so on. So he indicated that very little improvement has been achieved by farm workers, among whom the majority are women. So he believed that an opportunity was missing in terms of support initiatives to alleviate conditions of employment in this particular sector. And this will contribute towards the economic welfare of women and rural households. And also, we then compromised the majority of unemployed and underemployed and unemployable. And this was actually the TPA research actually indicated this. Also, the policy and provision encouraging labor flexibility, outsourcing of production, and increasing the numbers of temporary and part-time jobs have increased job insecurity, particularly for women workers. And some of these things are finding them in some of the reports. So therefore, the people would have liked to see new job creation initiatives were announced in this order to alleviate their plight. Friend, women continue to face violation on their rights and are denied employment benefits. So the issue of pregnant women employment benefits as well is also important. South Africa has not ratified the ILO Convention number 83, which seeks to promote equality for all women in the workplace and the health and safety of the mother and the child. So I think it's important for us to actually push for this. The convention addresses issues such as maternity leave, pay and benefits, job security, and non-discrimination. So, issues of harmful traditional practices such as Botswana, and I hope you were following the Chazile appeal case in the Western Cape of CGE was an amicus on the case that Botswana should be actually outlawed in the country and so on. So such practices should have been, the President of the Nation spoken about these issues of female genital mutilation remain important terms for our own discussions. As we are getting new people come from other countries as well, some of these issues may really become a reality, and we must begin to speak about those issues. Although the President did mention the successful prosecutions of perpetrators of violence against women, it is important that the government identify this for focal attention through policy and effective law enforcement. So concluding, Mr. President, the CGE acknowledges that the present address of the State of the Nation is a major opportunity the President for not only to address the nation about the government's program process for the coming financially. However, we believe that SONA should be intended as well. There should be gender issues being teased out in the President speech. It is also an opportunity to identify and inform the nation about successes and that continue to face government in its attempts to meet the needs of its own people. And we believe that while SONA did identify issues of considerable importance for women and gender mainstreaming, it ought to have made one or two both policies and program initiatives to signal the continued prioritization of gender mainstreaming by the government, like the revival of the National Council on Gender Based Violence. Thank you, Chair. I'll send to Raj all the 22 slides to the limited time that we have. Thanks, Chair.
Honourable members, question time. Honourable Kaura. Ibonge
izihambele zikhona la ndlela asithulele ngayo imnandi futhi ihle isinikeza ithemba angazokuyezwakala into papers. Okay. Izobuza njengana ngiqondene kakhulukazi la kumthetho obizwa ngo-11-1 we-CGE. Kule nto yokulingana ngokobulili. Iphinde silingane ngokuthi saba la e-South Africa. Mina ngempela ngiyathanda ukubonga ukuthi nizinihlele ukuthi le nto yenzeke noma niyayishumayela le nto fana kuzethu ngasontweni fundisa oshumayelayo phiwe ngokuthi bayathatha abanye abathathu. Ngiyabonga mina niyakushimbela la kodwa cha into engakenzeki ngiyavumelana nani ayikho nhlobo. Ngiqondise nkosama ngisho ukuthi ugibela phezu kwabantu usizi noma yinto engiyibonile la kuphi la Cape Town. Then always the color of the KZN. No, that's Asia, Cape Town to be smug, I mean, good here. She say Parliament is Lila, a Cape Town. Then a good legislature, a connoisse, a woman, and a father, now you shall. I found Geraji, a Sharwanian Dow, they say good letter, the Sharwanian Dow. We manage, like Cape Town, the Una Magnaya. Engawazi ebengiyoqala ukuthi njengani la njengalo mnyango omela amalungelo abantu kenizwe ukuthi senihambe nagcinaphi kuyanuka abantu abamnyama lana ekhethano amhlobo sengishuda ngokumhlalela muntu and ngiyanyile ngiyadiniwe futhi abantu abamnyama banayo ikhethano le nto kuthiwa inkululeko bayizwa ngendaba. Njoba ke ngekho nje bengathi research khona. Abantu abamnyama bahlala namakaka endlini. Bengigqoke amabhuzu. Abantu abamnyama izindlu abahlala kuzona. Yihlazo ngeke ubeke ngisho inja yakho. Abantu abamnyama balayikhethana basaphilisa kwengulube. Ama-toilet. Nalawo mina ngipotapota bengiyibukhiphi ngizokhuluma ngayo. Hambile ngayibonela kwayona leyapotapota iyinkinga ongasifuthi kuney'ngane. Siphuma ngisho endawo ekuthilisa ekhaya mnandi. La ndawo ukuzwa ngephunda ayike lapho kusuzothola abantu abamnyama. Abasebenza emgwaqweni abanawo into ozokuvikela lathi le nto ifono nongathi imaski ngesingisi. Abanama-clubs abainifomu abanayo. Abanamabhuzi bayigqoke lophaqa kunzima la ekhethani bafethu kungcono kwezinye iy'ndawo bengikhali impela kodwa iCape Town kunzima ngendlela ongayazi. Bese ngibuyela-ke la kusabelomali nginesikhalazo esikhulu lapha ukuthi ngempela ngokwami yabona lo mnyango lona iwonakayo ngabe uyanikezwa imali oba unamnyango engibonayo ukuthi iwona wona ulwela amalungelo abantu la eSouth Africa. Nokwazi ukulwela la lezi zinto njengoba kuyimanje ngiyawuceba kunina njengoba ngisaba zonezo 14 days. Ngifuna ukuzwa ukuthi lomasipala walaboshiwe. Ngendlela ohlukumeza ngayo abantu abamnyama. Kunabantwana abancane laphayana usizo ongalazi indlu ngayinye encane ihlala abantu abamodern 8. Nezakhiwe zamahholo. Ngisaphinda. Inja. Ngeke zihlale laphayana. Ngiyangicela futhi angazi. Bengizocela ukuthi kubabeka ngami nje ehlalo wami. Lo mnyango ngempela asikho nje isidingo sokuthi ungakunikeza imali uphinde uthathe enye imali ngoba umsebenzi wawumkhulu. Lakhe njengokuthi ngibonile mina, sisebenzela kakhulu nalo mnyango ukwazi ngisho abantu abaphuqe izimpesheni. Othola umuntu disabled akakwazi ngisho ukwenzani kodwa impesheni akanazo. Sikwazile ukungena kulo mnyango salibona usizo lawo. Sibonile abantu abangenayo imali yokuthi bakwazi bakhokhele abameli. Sibonile lo mnyango basiza. Then ngizocela ukuba ngokwami nje lo mnyango bakithi funeka ubhekelelwe emalini. Kodwa-ke ngicela uxolo. Ake ngizwe ngemanje ukuthi nithathele izinyathelo masipala wala eCape Town.
Thank you, Chairperson. and also thank the people who were making the presentation.
I'll just read to whatever the other member had written and shown to me before, but it's almost the same as what she must say. I'm speaking in terms of Section 11.1 of the CGE Act concerning equality of the South African people. It worries me that this Act is not applied satisfactorily. Here in Cape Town, this Act is not applied at all. Black people live in very disgusting conditions. You can feel through a bad smell that it's a black area. All the waste and feces are full in their houses. Roads are in bad conditions. Looking at their houses, you cannot say that there are people living there because they are packed to approximately 8 people per household. Even a dog cannot live there. I would urge all of you to go there and see this yourself. What is done with the budget that is allocated in this province? We must do something in this province. I feel that black people are still being discriminated against, whereas they were born and bred in South Africa. Areas like Kaamnand and Stellenbosch, women there work on roads without protective clothes. They smell badly. Also in Kuletsu. And all these areas are filled with black residents. We want the Western Cape government to be put in jail or penalized for this. We urge that the commission must, by all means, try to attend for these people so that they live a good life. And for the second presentation, concerning the annual performance plan, we have a problem about the cuts or non-allocation of enough budget to this sector that deals with people's rights. They are the ones that bring justice to the people. All our hopes are solely on this sector as they play a major role within the community. Even those who have their pensions or disability grants stopped, I have seen them being held by these people. According to me, this commission or this sector should never be financially underfunded. Everybody in this country relies on the sector and they work tirelessly. This is the very sector that should be highly funded rather than underfunded. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you to the CGE for your presentation. I think I would like to make a few comments, and that is that I think the issue of your funding for me is a grave issue. I think gender equality and women's empowerment in South Africa is still a work in progress, and I think looking at your plan, you are scaling down considerably on the work that you're doing simply because you don't have the funding, which also means that, in effect, we are entrenching gender equality in South Africa. And I think this lack of funding for me was evident when I read a report which suggested that it will take 45 years for us to actually reach that gender parity when it comes to paychecks for men and women. And even what it stated was that there has been a regression in this regard in terms of the US, the UK and South Africa. Now, if we continue to underfund women's issues, women's gender equality issues, we will actually never reach that place where we have women empowerment and women and gender equality, because they're actually scaling, once they scale down on the funding, we're actually perpetuating the problem. And what I then want to ask you is, considering that your, you know, a lot of your work is done in provinces and municipalities, whether your offices at local level in provinces or, you know, your offices that spread over the country, whether they're actually properly capacitated both in terms of human resources and financial resources. Also, one of the challenges that you cited was the fact that you do not have gender data, or this, you know, that you don't have a full picture on gender data, gender issues. Now, one of your roles are the fact that you have to monitor government's compliance with CEDAW and debating platform of action. And one of those, when I read to it, said one of the strategic objectives of the debating platform of action is that we need to generate and disseminate gender data info and for planning and evaluation. And what will you do? I think, you know, going forward, it's a real issue. We cannot really plan if we don't have comprehensive gender data. And what will you actually do in this regard? Then, lastly, I want to say that also the issue of scaling down on communications. I think many South Africans in rural areas where gender equality is really a problem do not have access to the CGE. Now, you are scaling down on communications and you are now utilizing issues like, or platforms like social media. But many of the women that we actually need to reach out to in rural areas do not have access to social media. And I think that is also for me a cause for concern. And then lastly, in your SONA slides, you make mention of the fact that you would have wanted the president to revive or speak about the National Council Against Gender-Based Violence. Now, there again, this is an issue which we've been informed is really not going anywhere because it hasn't got funding. And so, again, I think it highlights, again, the crisis which we're in, where there's just not enough funding for any of these projects. And maybe just to ask you, you've spoken about your new business model and whether, when you do look at your new business model, whether it will actually address your funding problems. Thank you.
Ngozi Sisado. I want to say that a lot of what I was going to say has already been addressed by my colleagues, so I'm not going to repeat them, but these are very valid issues. The budget is a big problem, as we know, and you will remember in my first speech this year, I in fact appealed for more funding for you even before all these budget cuts were applied. So I am wholly sympathetic to that. But we do know our circumstances are straightened because of so many different issues, the economy, the electricity, everybody is being affected by this. So we've all got to tighten our belts and see where we can save. Now, I must say I was impressed by the CEO's approach, and I want to thank you for that. You're being very positive and saying, how can we maximize our funding? How can we collaborate with other people? And I think this is key, because so many functions are duplicated in different departments and all over. And this is one of our functions as a committee, is to monitor and to see that we are getting the right information, and particularly disaggregated information. But let's see where we can cut out the duplication so that we're not all working on the same thing and coming up with the same results and, in fact, wasting time and money that is so precious to us. So you'll certainly have our support that we use our funding wisely, we collaborate, we avoid duplication because it is so important. The regression in gender rights is something that bothers me, and equal pay for equal work. I think this is something we can all go forward on. We really need to make sure that people who are doing the same jobs and performing at the same level are getting that. I remember when I first started teaching years ago, you know, that when I got married, I had to resign as a teacher because I was a married woman, which is ridiculous. You know, so then I went into the private sector. Yeah. Anyway, it has changed. Thank goodness for that, and I fought for that as well. There are lots of other issues where we fought, and we have succeeded in many ways. So we do need more data. And then I'm also very concerned about the rural areas. You know about that, so I won't go into that again. And then Mama Kalula. I just want... Kaula. Now I forgot. I apologize. Okay. Kaula. I just want to say that there are problems within municipalities all over the country. And I think that this is actually not the place for going into the details, but I want to offer, because I have personally intervened, where we have found that there are service providers who are not cleaning toilets properly and regularly, I personally intervened. So if you can give me the facts and you can give me where the places are where you find the problems, I will undertake to help. There are also lots of areas where things are better, but I'm prepared to help because I can do it. I've done it before, and we simply want to make sure that everybody has got circumstances which are respectable and healthy.
Sure. I think we're missing the point. I don't agree with the Honorable Robinson when she says that she can intervene. It's not about individual interest. It's about a community that is oppressed. And in this day and age, you can't do that. The Constitution doesn't allow it. In terms of basic human rights, it doesn't allow it. So it's not your individual problem. It is a systematic problem that is in this area. If it's there in any other way in the country, it has to be addressed. And Kaula, Honorable Kaula is raising the issue of a bucket system. Do you find a bucket system in white areas? No. How do they come to that conclusion that African people have to be given a bucket system? Who can stand that stink? Who can do that? Any woman can do that. So we're saying the fundamental issues there of basic services are not provided by the municipality to African people. That's the bottom line. We can't hide it. It's a racial issue, and it cannot be stomached at this point in time. It cannot be accepted by you or anybody else who's a human being, who's fighting for the rights of human beings. Where's that? It is women that are sitting in those households. And that's the bottom line. You can't justify it. And I think what Honorable Kaule is saying is that we need to make the municipality answer to this question. As the Gender Commission, they must also go there and ask the municipality, when people have fought for the rights of dignities of human beings, not dignities of animals, human beings, they can't be in that situation. They must give proper sanitation to every human being that lives in this area. And that's the bottom line. All of us, I can't even sit on that bucket. I will not sit on that bucket. You will not sit on that. Because you have money to put in better facilities. So, and what we need to do as a portfolio committee is to call the portfolio on gender, on water and sanitation in this parliament. Raise these issues with them because they are the relevant portfolio. We must also call, in the department, we must also call the human settlement portfolio in the department. Raise these issues with them. Then next year we evaluate what progress have they made on these issues, not to defend them. Our role is to defend the rights of women, to be given dignity, to live safely and healthy in the space they live, wherever they are. Period. Another thing that we must also do is to call the appropriations portfolio committee and present the budget of the commission to them and say, here's the budget, this is what the commission is doing. We want them to consider, to reconsider in increasing their budget. That's all that we must do. We should be advocates of women's rights and nothing else. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you very much, Chair, and thank you, the Chair and the CGE for the presentation. I think some of my issues have been raised by members, but I'll just raise few comments or questions. I think when the National Treasury was cutting some of the budget for this institution, actually it was not the only, you are not the only institution that the budget has been cut. Even from the municipalities, for the municipalities and for other departments, and others, painful because they're providing basic services to the people. So it's unfortunate, but we make our case as the portfolio committee to make sure that we defend the rights of the women up to there. And you know, one of the challenges that we are having is that in most departments, they're spending the money recklessly. Because when you look at the, I was just worried when we were attending the CSW in New York. When you look at the delegation from each department, it will tell you this is unnecessary. Because most of them were not having any role to play there. And sure, you are not going to get even any report from some of those departmental officials. So it tells you that you are just misusing the government budget facilities, yes. And on the other issue, the issue of consultants, the National Treasury have raised it several times that let's reduce the use of consultants and make use of our staff, our in-house staff. But we are still continuing to use consultants. I'm not quite sure about the status quo of you. I saw that there's an amount allocated to the consultants. I'm not quite sure whether you have any staff that can, we are not saying cut off everything in terms of the consultants, but just to avoid, unnecessary spending in terms of pay the use of consultants. And the other issue, it's the, on the, surely this is not relevant to you, but just a question to you. When we were in the CSW, there was a report that was handed over by the Ministry of Women. And I'm not quite sure, just a question to you, if perhaps you have that report, a country report on the Commission, the status of women. If you have, for now, because this committee is not having that report, if you have, can you make it available? And it's not your responsibility, the ministry must submit it to this portfolio committee, but as of now, we don't have that report. So if you are having, because surely when you were there, you maybe were present, that report was presented to you as a CGE. And then on the other issue, your on the education and outreach program, I saw that you have cut the number of the visits that you'll be doing. But just to emphasize this, that you have to partner also with the local government. They've got forums that are consistent in local government. In the district municipalities, in the local municipalities, we do have these ADP forums that are sitting on a quarterly basis. So if you want to share your mandate, the role that you, the roles and responsibilities that you are having, I think that these are the good platforms that you have to use, especially making use of your official in the provincial offices. Not exactly the official from national office must drive to all different municipalities. Make use of your provincial staff. On the other issue, last time, or this year, 2014-2015, we were also lobbying for, on the land issue, the One Woman, One Hectare program. I'm not quite sure, are you also continuing with that program in terms of a land issue? On the other issue, there's also a GBV concern that you have also highlighted as one of the issues that we'll be dealing with in this financial, in the next financial year, that we have just highlighted in this strategy in the annual performance plan. But according to the information that you're having, that was presented by the ministry, is that concern, it's on hold. I'm not quite sure whether the ministry has presented, has just briefed you on status quo of the council. So, you know, just interact on your interacting with the department. Just raise that matter, because to us the council is not functional. It's on hold until further notice. So it will not be good for you to identify it in terms of your work. The CFO, from just like you're talking about the savings in your department, in your institution. I'm not quite sure, do you still have those savings or you have spent them, all of them, the entire savings, you have spent them on the previous years? If you still have, how much do you still have in your budget? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. Except for the CDA, your annual performance plan, the strategic plan has been clearly outlined. But I would like to know, because yes, we have seen that you clearly agree that there has been a decrease in allocation for strategic objectives 1, 2, and 3 from the 2014-15 allocations, with objective 2 seeing the largest increase. Only strategic objective 4 has decreased in budget. Can you elaborate on that? Can you elaborate on that? And other one, we fully agree with Honorable Chewu, as this portfolio committee, we will invite the departments for water and sanitation and human settlement as a matter of urgency to discuss the warrant issues on water and sanitation in Western Cape. Because we know that the Human Rights Commission came to Western Cape, but other people denied this. those issues that were raised there, where they raised, there were the issues on the ground. So we always talk about these issues, telling them this, that in Western Cape, it seems that there are two worlds, the one for the whites and the one for the African people. So for now, I'm happy that, as your Honorable Kaula, you have seen those issues, because as the ruling party, we always talk about those issues, whereas other people deny that. And the other thing is, whether do you have any outstanding targets on the 2014-15 that has not been implemented, and what are you going to do about them as now you have this budget concept? Thank you.
Any further questions?
Okay. Oh, I think I forgot one. In terms of the transformation hearings, I think you have to fast track those things. We see now what is happening in terms of the LRC and the students in the University of Western Cape.
Yes.
So I think there's a need for you to fast track all those transformation hearings. And I think in your hearings, you must also include your SRCs. Yeah, so that they can be able to make inputs in terms of your of your work. And you must also prioritize these institutions, because they're not the same, the higher institutions. They're those who are making some impact in terms of transformation in this country. And the last issue here is they've just indicated that they will be separating the 20th of assistance of the CGE. I think you must have a good story to tell. Yes, definitely. With regard to individual departments, the impact, the positive impact that we have done in this country, either each department, private sector, you know, you must run before you celebrate to make sure that the private sector is transforming. You must just run to make sure that this private sector, we are trying in the public, in the public sector, in the government institutions, government departments, but a lot still needs to be done. But I must say that you must have a good story to tell as the CGE. Thanks.
Dr. Skor.
And Bongashalo. Oh, we are not standing there. What I'm going to do is question about the women getting it. He's thinking that I'm managing a good general. I'm going to go away. Okay, I'm going to go away. I'm going to go away. Otholuthikade besifunda abashaka abangahlanikezwa manje imali yokuqhubeka ukuthi bafunde NSFAS angasabanikwi manje kunenqobe abashonayo babafunda benze ilutho ngenxa yokuthi imali zofunda abanazo ukuthi ke besiphele basiphenyele ukuthi ale mfundo yamahhala izozifike nini ngahlathisini umuntu angafunde ke ilungelo lakhe. Ngiyabonga.
The other issue concerns these students who are no longer getting NSFAS. So will you please go and check as to what should happen about this? Thank you.
Okay. Honorable Marshall,
attention. Oh, to from these key issues from the SONA, I don't see any program about the children, because we are facing a daily here in Western Cape of gangsters in the early stages of 14 years and drugs. This is the most province who has drugs coming with drugs, and all those drugs are going straight to our black areas. You never see in construction, and you never see any movement. I just wanted to know, do you have any provision about this province according to the drugs and gangsterism? Our graves, we can go in Kailicha, is full of 14 years old boys. Oh my Togomit, Western Cape, more special in our black township. Okay. I just wanted to know, do you have any provision about the Delft MK?
I'm not going to answer, and I think this time around, when I listen to the questions, they request commissioners to comment first, and then the CEO maybe will comment afterwards. Because I think most of the issues that came up around supporting, advising us on how we actually go forward as an institution, we really appreciate that. So I think there are so many other issues as well, but I would ask the four commissioners just briefly to comment on the issues raised. And there is a man who leads one woman on her health land, and is very happy that question actually came up. So, but I must say that some of the issues raised as much as the impact on gender equality, but there are other statutory organs that deal with them specifically. So, maybe service delivery issues and so on. But as an institution, as CEO was saying, we packaged our work in terms of what is happening at Tokula province. Even here in the Western Cape, there's a work that we're doing around the advancement of gender equality in the Western Cape. There would be a specific, and I think plenary, in the last plenary as well, we also realized that in terms of gender, if we're frank about it, Western Cape is not doing well. And it's one of the issues that were going forward we'll be looking at in terms of some of the investigations that will be undertaking as part of. So Western Cape is part of, but some of the issues that had belong to other entities. But I think in terms of education, because we have brought our Western Cape manager here and also listening, which is nice. In terms of education, and research and so on, in terms of education, we can partner with other organizations and address gender issues when that drug related issues, because drugs also relate to the issues of gender-based violence and so on and alcohol. So that those interconnectedness. But I think we must find a way of saying how do we do some of these issues. So I think 100, that's what we will do. Very briefly as well, I think the issues of the budget, we appreciate Honorable Shea with the issue of approaching the appropriation committee as well. I must also say that when they tell you that CGE sometimes is underspent, that's why we'll choose CGE's budget. But some of the underspending is because commissioners were not there. The management could not take some of the monies and spend it on programs. And then they actually roll over some of those monies, because I know that other people will come and explain why that CGE was not spending some of the money. Some of the things CGE could not do anything, because those things are supposed to be by Parliament and Presidency, and therefore could not spend that money, and we had to actually throw that over. So I think we appreciate the issue around communication as well, about that we need to actually educate. We're aware of that honorable fundamental around communication on women. That's why we have that 54 slots, 54 community radio slots, which are community-based radio stations. We go to the role and speak to women directly on those particular issues. We are aware of those issues. Very briefly as well, there are issues that speak to one woman of Southland, I think. Let me speak about the issue of the TBV cancer. I think, Honorable, I was talking to the SONA issue. It's not in my program. There was even this issue with the problem when we were trying to monitor the gender-based violence cancer because of the change of government in May this year. So it's part of that. So it's not part of what we'll be doing in terms of monitoring, but we'll be monitoring gender-based violence in general. And 365, and saying an assessment report on implementation of the 365 days program on GPV. So when it's 365, we're monitoring all the other programs, including the Women's Month and so on. There's another point that Commissioner Mapazi, maybe she forgets about it, that even this year, because we don't have money, we'll be supporting national events, we'll not be actually doing our own events, like the National Women's Day, Women's Month, and so on. So we'll be actually supporting the national calendar and 15 days and so on. At 15 days for us, as a part of monitoring the 2055 days program in terms of GPV. So I think they're going to explain, CFOs are explain on the issue of why have we reduced more on such objectives number four. In the next financial year, which is starting 2 days after today, whereas in the past we have spent more money on that. I hope we will be able to explain on that. So, Yeah, I think that may just give the other commissioners just to have a bit of their comments on the issues raised, and then give to the or the CFO to speak to the programmatic issues raised by. But we're really moved by. But we really request the members of parliament to really assist us on these things, because when you speak to trader people, they don't understand what is gender, and that's the problem that we're facing. For them, they talk gender is just one thing. They even think that we can just put these people together with the Department of Women, and they can just do. And for them, what is important is at home. It's police. Even now, when you look at gender, even we're talking with the deputy chair. Even when they allocate committee rooms, police will sort out in the people. For it, gender equality must go to a squash. You know. So those are real issues, and I think that in terms of thinking, so on, it's very, very important. And for them, treasury, for them, we think about gender, they even think, and we can catch, we put them together, we can, some of these people are just in some nuisance and things that are not even supposed to happen. It's really, and I think that's why it's important in the training, accountant as well, gender equality needs to be part of certain understand, because I think the training they go into as well. So, thanks, Chair, I will ask the members from the commission just to actually on the issue that they think that we did not have, and the CEO and the CFO would come back and answer the programmatic questions.
Yeah. Thank you, Chair. The chairperson earlier made reference to research findings on the issue of land. And in this GE, in 2010, in fact, she conducted some research over a 10-year period, from 2000 to 2010. And that research report was published in 2011. When we came in 2012, one of the things, because that report, among other things, said that our land reform process over that period had only about 18% women beneficiaries. And clearly, I mean, that male beneficiaries were in the majority. And this then said to us, among other things, if we're talking about gender inequality, and in particular, women economic empowerment, it cannot be something that takes place outside access to land on the part of women. And therefore, and then CGE embarked upon, in terms of our mandate, because our mandate, among other things, talks to the function of lobbying. That let's start a lobby, a campaign, based on the mandate of CGE, and also based on very specific provisions, for example, in CEDAW, the Convention on the Elimination of Discrimination Against Women, provides in terms about the importance of women having property rights, as well as specific provisions also in the SADC protocol. That too also has very specific reference to that. So on the basis of that, the Commission for Gender Equality embarked upon this campaign that then became, that has since become known as One Woman, One Hectare of Land. And the idea was principally to influence government to adopt this and use it as a way of empowering women. Because the argument is that, and this is universal, that the relationship between land and women is very tenuous and precarious. It's always via the father or a male sibling in the family or a husband if she's married or in relation to an uncle. And then this was saying that, in essence, this would have established a direct relationship between the woman and the land. Because, after all, again, universally, when it comes to food security, food provision, women are in the majority when it comes to food security. So it should be a matter of finding a way of strengthening the relationship. And it was also saying, not saying that necessarily it has to be one size fits all. Because in the African context, we know that some of the land, especially in rural areas, falls in communal lands. And then we're saying that in those cases where it's not possible to grant or allocate land title in ownership, but that access should be made possible so that women can have access to the land and use the land profitably, productively, and sustainably. And there is a shining example, you know, in KZN. There's a lady who actually is my heroine, called Susan Ngwane. She is an incredible leader who took up this, you know, campaign for the women in KZN. And I mean, I was amused to learn that recently she approached the Ngonyama Trust. And the Ngonyama Trust has allocated, I think, in excess of 100 hectares of land. She approached on the basis of one woman and 1 hectare. And so that proves that, in fact, it is possible that women can have this kind of access. And this is a campaign for more land, from also from other, you know, owners of land. I've also been given access to the Shedara Agricultural College to use that as a group of women, again on the basis of 1 hectare. And last weekend, something I think phenomenal happened that I had in, you know, because apart from lobbying government departments, we also spent time, invested time in lobbying. Also, I mean, bringing grassroots organizations and people to take up this initiative. Last weekend, Human Rights Day, here in Cape Town, the Rural Women Assembly was launching this campaign for land for food when they took their petition to the Premier's office. And the Rural Women's Assembly is not only a national rural women's organization. It is actually in the SADC, you know, region. It covers SADC region. And they have adopted 1 woman, 1 hectare as the demand, you know, for their members. And they are mobilizing. So it's a bottom-up, you know, movement. And I think CGE, without self-congratulation, in a sense, I believe that it has done, you know, its task in terms of lobbying. And then the people who are concerned, because the important thing about development, that the people who are to benefit from it must themselves be the subjects of that particular, you know, movement. So they've taken it up, and I tell you that there's going to be a groundswell of women, rural women in particular, saying that we are demanding 1 hectare of land for 1 woman. So that is more or less where the matter stands.
And that will actually help in the eradication of the green card that you're seeing now, the barrier for people working in the farms here in Western Cape. So we're still in shackles one way or the other, but it's got to come to an end. Next speaker.
Thank you, Jefferson. I think first I must speak to the gender situation in the Western Cape, which I think now the political leaders here, they need to intervene also in the situation. As a person is saying that in my reports I did present in the last plenary, because I had a bilateral with the office of the Premier to try and address the situation. But you could see there was nothing that came out of the meeting. The Western Cape does not go according to the national gender framework. They are prioritizing, they have human rights as a priority. And the issue of gender, youth, is that part of their work. There's no dedicated office that is going to deal with the issue of issue of gender in the province in general. And there's a business, the Commission for Gender Equality, last year we also started to form a forum where we can have the broader, all the people that are involved in gender issues in the Western Cape, so that we can work together. In trying, because we didn't succeed from the government side, we thought they must mobilize the NGOs. We had last year a stakeholders workshop, and out of that there was a task team that was elected, and that task team will then be presenting the consolidated reports to the other stakeholders. And we have agreed to that task team that we will have quarterly programs in different areas of the Western Cape focusing on gender matters. And we like to take the government on board on the matter, because we don't want to work outside, but
we did not manage to do so. Maybe when it comes from the political side, then the province could change the way it does things. On the issue of our outstanding targets, you know, this in the office yesterday when I was there, we met with the staff, we discussed each and every area. To check what are the outstanding issues that were supposed to be done within, to have been done 2014-2015. So all the provinces will be doing that so that when they start this financial year, because those were funded programs, they start those programs so that they can, and so that we'll finalize all the work of 2014-2015. So in essence, we are not leaving them out. The targets of 2014-2015 will be finalized. In some areas, the targets that we met, even we've gone even beyond the targets for 2014. But there are a few areas that we want to improve. Some of them, they are affected by areas that we could not stop. For example, here in the Western Cape, a main area was the legal clinics, because the legal officer resigned. In essence, in that they could not have all those legal clinics that were targeted, because we must have the legal office available in our clinics. I think Chairperson has spoken on the issue of the GBV. On the consultancy fee, I think we have won, really we have tried to save a lot out of the consultancy fee as an institution. The main funding in that consultancy fee is the Auditor General themselves. We pay them for the services that they are providing us. So we have to put funds aside every year for the service that they are providing us to pay. So the major budget there is for the Auditor General fees. Almost 2 million per annum that we pay them. 2.5 that we pay the Auditor General for that.
That's high.
I think the issue of the communication also has been addressed. We have also agreed that we, as Honorable Tech was advising us, that we're going to use the platform of the ITP as well as the platform of taking Parliament to the people. We have been invited, but we said now we're going to change the apples with them. We're not attending just to be there. We're attending, putting our stand in all their events, so that we can be able to piggyback in all the programs that the government is doing in our areas. Even there, we were discussing yesterday whether is there something of taking people in Parliament to the people in Western Cape. And the response was saying they don't have information to say that program is existing in the province. So, but we will make a follow-up on that program to ensure that we work with them if they have the program so that we can piggyback in those programs. On the issue of the capacity in provincial offices, as you know that we have limited staff in our provinces, but for now we have agreed in cutting down the budget, the provinces must not be affected. We must ensure that staffing that is in the provinces, they are still intact. But those are the things that we, at the end of the day, must investigate and must talk about them in reality. Because if you talk 9 provinces that we have at the present moment, we're talking about 9 over X. The cost that is coming to the ECG in, as an organization. So if this thing continues and there's no rescue in the situation of the CGE, in reality, these are the areas that we have to talk about. Is it really practical for CGE to have 9 offices in provinces? Even now, we are complaining. We thought going forward, we have a second, what is not a former educator, education officer in the office. That somebody can support, because we have one education officer for the whole province, and it's not practical. But if we have somebody is appointed there to support the education officer, then we have 2 people that can reach the province. But in the light of the situation, those are the areas that we have really to revisit to ensure that we really survive as the CGE going forward. We appreciate the support and the fact that the committee is commissioning that they will assist us. We also, as commissioners, we said to must go out and try and intervene in the situation of the finances of the commission. Because matter is 4%. 4% of 65 billion is a lot. It may be a small percentage according to Treasury. They are saying, no, we only take 4% from you. But that 4% to us makes a big impact. 4% for departments with billions is nothing.
But for us, it's a lot. So we really appreciate and we thank the committee for that. The last point I want to talk is the situation of the Western Cape. Maybe we'll take the process forward with the human rights, partner with them, because last time, a year before, we dealt with human rights, dealing with the ill of water and sanitation. I think specifically we'll communicate with them. We have a special project focusing on this issue of the Western Cape specifically to deal with that the situation together with human rights as the commission. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chairperson and members. Some of the points I had written here have been covered. I would like to deal with the issue of portfolio committees that deal with areas that also have a bearing on us. The one other portfolio committee that is strategic is the one on justice. A lot of pieces of legislation that are coming that are very critical to us. The one that is just topical now is the one that deals with the issue of sexual offences. It's a highly, highly contested space, and we'd like to ask for your intervention in that space because there are two views. There is a view that says criminalize sexual interaction between children. And then raise the age of sexual interaction to 20 and something like that. There are those who say, okay, if you criminalize, you decriminalize, they must also start at 20 or 18 years and above. So there are lots of issues here. There are issues of Ushola and Ugupala that have come back big time, and you are getting a lot of pushback on those ones. You may have seen on television, there are now campaigns out there of people who are saying, leave us alone. And these are matters that we cannot handle alone. We really do need support. There's another one that is coming, the one of the firearms control amendments. Our research shows that femicide usually happens with guns, mainly. And of course, we do have knives here and there, but guns are high. So the SARS has got a going to be amending the law on the firearms control, which may mean that they want to tighten the law on possession of firearms and how the management of possession of firearms. So we would like to ask interventions. The girl child, the 12th critical area in the Beijing Platform of Action is actually on girl child. You asked about children, in particular for us, girl child. And in those crossfire of drugs and everything, girl children are affected. It's not just drugs. And then it will be drugs, and then it will be teenage pregnancy, it will be drop out of school. So it's a cycle that needs all of us to come together to say, how can we save our children so that they can have a future that is enshrined in the Constitution. This aggregation of data, we still find departments that don't see the value in this aggregation of data. Maybe if a letter came from this portfolio committee, just to remind other portfolio committees to say, when you receive any information, ask them to disaggregate. If it's not disaggregated, it doesn't give a good picture. So then they will also have whatever reports they receive because they still don't do it. Because they do know that they must do it. It's just a matter of an expectation that if you really want to measure impact of development in this country and service delivery, you must disaggregate your data. On the higher education transformation, yes, well, just our APP has got only three institutions. But last week we also heard that the South African Human Rights Commission is focusing also on higher education. So we will make sure that we infuse gender there so that we have a bigger spread and the agenda is the same on what we, how far a transformation in South Africa so that the leaders that we produce are leaders that understand these issues and that we surely have a good transformation. Generally on funding,
Now, this is probably a much more personal area. I think the chairperson has also raised it. Some of us do feel that there is money that we can get. It's just a matter of people understanding the value of the work that we do in the gender space and giving it the seriousness that it deserves. The most hungry people will be children and their mothers struggling to make and meet. GBV, it will be the same. And so we do need to give as much money and empower women to be able to access the information that is there, which has been provided, to be able to access their rights as women. We can't do that if there isn't adequate funding. And my commissioner said, in provinces, we've got one legal officer and one education officer to cover an entire province. And we have thought that we'll change our business model so that we beef up our provinces, we come into the business model, we beef up our provinces so that we have a bigger reach, and then partner with stakeholders and local government. That was the highlight of what we were doing. Thank you, Chairperson.
There is one issue that I think, Commissioner, is the issue of the report from the Ministry. I must say, Honourable Member, we have the report. We were invited, I can't lie to the Parliament, in the stakeholders, and we also gave input. We also checked our own CEDAW report and the Beijing report to the Ministry, but I don't think the CG could be able to give the Parliament the report. I think the Parliament must find its own way of getting the report to person. So I think, because we don't have that mandate of distributing it to other, we were giving the report. It's also in the website, I think. Yeah. But yeah, it's also on the website.
They said
to put in the ministry in our own website. Yes.
Let's check it. What's your position? I think that while we can access it at the website level, I mean the proper procedure is for that people to come to our committee so that we can deliberate on it. I don't think as members of Parliament we should really be looking for a report somewhere inside the space, especially since some of us have just come from that meeting in New York where we did not have that report. So I think, in this case, we must ask for protocols to be followed and that must come through the right channels to this portfolio committee so that we can interrogate that report.
Confirm. Answering Western Cape member of CGE about the oversight. MCLP has a mandate. The Constitution mandates them to do oversight on all departments in all provinces. And seated here, I can actually tell you. I'm not in the MCOP, but I know their programs. And they were blocked in doing oversight in one of the Western Cape areas because of the necessity to go to be able to get the information they needed direct from the people in that particular area. I'm not here to hit at any political grouping. People have spoken about the segregation and things like that. And all I said to you and all of you were witnesses. If we actually want to see some progress in the alleviation of the black people from what is happening, we have to stand together. And first, do proper retrospective analysis of ourselves and forget about the affiliation.
political affiliation, but look forward into pulling our people from the hole of poverty and all the atrocities they are faced with. And sincerely, I can say it. Yes, we can say 90% of the blacks, but there are other races that are suffering. And actually, when people say Western Cape simply must be taken away, that is exactly what all the other provinces are saying. Because to this juncture, we don't know how they could actually be put on the pedestal. It's up to us now, let's roll our sleeves and ensure that we're going to do oversight, irrespective of who is in the ruling seat. Be it rural, be it the towns, this work has to be done, and done diligently. And when CGE goes to court, inform us. It's a pity the atrocities that are meted out to our kids in this Western Cape. They push us 100 years back. Real atrocities. It's rape. Maybe we have to specify them. Rape and sodomy. One case is adjudicated, and it's not as if it was not known. A little boy who was sodomized from the age of 8. And the very people who are supposed to be protecting our kids. And all that was swept under the carpet until one woman took it to the fore. Now, without a woman, after all, there won't be a nation. And why are we then allowed to carry such a heavy burden? And we're not together, truly speaking. We are segregated in some of the work that we do. And it's got to come to an end. It's just got to come to an end. Thank you, Sisi.
Chair, just very quickly responses from CEO and CFO on specific programmatic issues.
Thank you, Chair. I think Honorable Sander Merve, on the issue specifically of gender data, part of the process that we have undertaken is to meet with CFA with a view to sign an MOU with them, because part of the problem that we've seen is because they also provide quite a huge data that is generated within the country. If it doesn't start there as well, it becomes a problem. We've had several meetings with them and our views to be able to sign an MOU so that we ensure that their data is also gender disaggregated, and hopefully then everybody else will be able to follow suit. So that's what we have done. I note, Honorable, again, in terms of transformation hearings, we've already held about 2 transformation hearings, and part of the process there was to ensure that we invite SRCs. We've had University of Venda and University of Pretoria, even though we saw with the University of Venda, the SRC was not really coming to a party. You really don't know whether they're in cahoots with the university itself or what's happening, but we will push and ensure that they are able to deal with some of those issues. And I think when it comes to issues, as Commissioner Makazi has highlighted, on issues of costs and consultants, we really don't have a lot of money there that we've put for consultants. Things that we have under that particular allocation, for instance, relate to
the people that help us with training and development, because they are a professional service, we've put them under that category as well. We have internet services, you know, that are outside. That, I mean, if you are having cloud run somewhere else, that's a professional service of people that are helping us. So it's not necessarily consultants that are coming in to do the work that we could do with ourselves. We've also set aside a little bit specifically for our 20-year review, as much as we would want to tell a good story, but I think for us it's important that we have an objective process as well that will also allow us to look and say what it is that we can do differently to ensure that the work of the CGE shines out there. So it's just a little bit, it's not a lot. And some of the research projects that we undertake in some instances, for instance, the AGDI that we've been talking about, in itself, there's a panel that is set up, that has to be set up in terms of that particular process as far as ESA or UNECA and ARIS is concerned in using that particular tool. So there's a little bit also allocated for that. So it's just bits and pieces of amounts, and when you look at it, it's really not as exorbitant. Generally, we utilize our staff members to run our processes. Honorable, in terms of checking whether we will be, I know that question was asked just touched, but then whether we will have recurring activities. We would not have recurring activities as such, but in fact, if you look at the AGDR research report, we had indicated that at the end of the financial year, come 31st of March, we will have a draft report, and therefore the report will not be published formally as yet, and that will then be taking place in the financial year that's going to start the very first quarter. So there are those that we've taken into account that is work in progress or work that's continuing from the previous financial year. Not necessarily to say we will not have met, but it is as it was envisaged right from the beginning that we might just have to finalize some of the reports and publish in the first quarter of the financial year. I think otherwise everything else has been dealt with. Thank you, Chair. Okay.
Honourable members, thanks very much, CEE, for all the information you've given us. But to the rest of the other members, may I say, unfortunately, we have an emergency meeting with Chief Whip, so myself and Ben, who have been called, and we're going now. What I'm going to ask now, because both of us are not here, is for Becca to take the vote, and then the reports are read, corrected, with us now, portfolio, okay. CGE has done its work. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. I will remember soon.
Okay. Take come over.
Thank you very much, honorable members and TGE. Can you pack your things early, please? Before I check you out.
Thank you very much. Honorable members, we've got two sets of needs, ne? CEO and CFO. Before we summon you. Members, we've got two sets of meetings. Honorable Chair, we've got two sets of minutes. The one dated to the 3rd of March and the other one the 17th of March. You have them, all of you? Members, you have the two sets of minutes that you're supposed to adopt, okay? The first one, the third, can we then adopt the minutes of the 3rd of March, page 1. Any comment, input, addition? Page 2? Chair, what's your page 3? May I start? Page 4? Page 5?
Can I move for the adoption? Agreed.
Honorable Lizali, moving for the adoption in second. Honorable Choba is seconding. Agreed. Next set of minutes, dated the 17th of March, page 1. The 17th of page 1, agreed. Page 2, agreed. Page 3. Page 4. Page 5. Page 6. See, that's Miss Bengu. Any move? Minutes of the 17th. March. Honorable Machoa, yes, you're present. Moves. Any second? Members, can you assist me? Hey. Honorable Chu and Honorable Robinson, you are part of this meeting. My server is moved for the adoption of these minutes. Okay. Honorable Chu will second it. I think we're also adopting the report, eh? There is a draft report of the Portfolio Committee on Women in the Presidency and the Multi-Party Caucus, or there's a joint oversight to the offices of the Commission for Gender Equality, dated the 24th to the 28th November 2014. This report has been submitted to us long ago. Yes, page 1. Page 2. Page 3, page 4, page 5, page 6, page 7, conclusion and recommendations, page 8. I was not away. Page 8. Any mover? Oh, should we give you recommendations? Yes. Can you then identify them so that the recommendations, so that they can be able to be part of the follow-up questions and comments to me? Yes. Any mover for the oversight? Who was part of there's no list of members. Oh, you go on page 2. Yes, in page 2. Bengu was there, Zeke was there, Nachoba was there, Chu was there, Robinson was there. Then you can move. We are not there, Lizard. Hello, Robinson. Move. Show, Machoba. Second. Thank you very much. The last report is the report, the recent report actually, the oversight visit to the offices of the Department of Women in Presidency, dated the 6th February 2015. Page 1. And Memela was there, Bengu was there, Zeke, Machoba, Show, Dex, Machiz, Kaur. My check, okay. Page 2. Just a small report, eh? Page 3. Recommendations also. Just identify them, they will be part of our is observations and recommendations. Any mover? My job. Honorable, my job is moving. Any second? Mamka Wula. Second. Thank you very much.
All members and guests, thank you very much for attending this meeting. The meeting is adjourned.
Thank you.